Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, the good news and the bad news here. Jeff and Victor, he agrees. Amen. The sheriff is back in town. We were talking about all the things, all the good things that are starting to happen on the world stage because they know the sheriff is coming back to town. Donald J. Trump is getting ready to be back in office. And so they're already starting to get their act together around the world to a certain extent here. Now, Tim in Savage says this. Something that scares me is all of the talk of getting a Supreme Court justice to resign or even Biden stepping aside in order to elevate Harris. The country spoke loud and clear. They don't want her in any leadership role. Watch out for potential crazy crap happening over the next 70 days. Was that from Tim and Savage there? Yeah, I think that one was from Tim and Savage. Or was that one from Jay and Billings? All right, either ways, great message. Yeah, I saw there's a story at thedailywire.com. Top former Kamala aide calls for Biden to resign so she can be president, even if only for a couple of months. Anyway, I saw that story and I thought, oh, this would be like the participation trophy presidency. Couldn't you just see the Democrats doing that? That Joe Biden would maybe step down or something, if only for a moment, just so they could give Kamala Harris the participation trophy of calling herself the first woman president. That would certainly be an oh for Pete's sake moment, wouldn't it? All right, let's jump right into the business news. We've got Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal now with us. Evelyn, I think it's safe to say what the good news is to start with this week. The election results last week, that's got to be good business news, right?
Oh, totally. There's nothing but good news following Donald Trump's landslide victory. People are expecting favorable business policies now, and they are investing and reinvesting in the private sector. And, you know, that just does nothing but encourage people and inspire them. Since the election, U.S. consumer sentiment rose to a seven-month high. Household expectations for the future has climbed to the highest point it's been in 3 years. Kind of coincides with something else, like the Biden administration. The S&P 500 and the Dow Industrials registered their best weekly percentage jump in a year, and the S&P secured its 50th record close of the year. NASDAQ had one of its best weeks. It rose 5.74%. The S&P gained 4.66%, and the Dow climbed 4.61%.
And all of that is just after the news that Donald J. Trump would become president. Imagine once he gets back in and starts making things happen. Hold that thought. That's a great report to start with. Stand by. Back with more from Evelyn Pyburn right after this.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, some patchy fog possible early on for Billings. Otherwise, we'll have sunny to partly cloudy skies with afternoon high temperatures in the upper 50s to near 60. Then for tonight, increasing cloud cover, chance for some rain showers late for Bozeman with lows to 33. Still staying dry for Billings for tonight, upper 30s. And that's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
What are we going to talk about now? I had one of our great listeners that I ran into at the Montana Family Foundation banquet in Bozeman ask me that question. She was from Helena. I said, we're going to have a lot to talk about now. Look at what we just talked about on Friday. Wolves, grizzlies, bull trout angling in the Bob Marshall, fishing restriction, just an idea, not a proposal, in central Montana with the director of FWP on Friday's show. Monday, we got Veterans Day and much more to come. Montana Talk, statewide 9 to 10.
Democracy 2024.
President Biden congratulating President-elect Trump.
And I assured him that I'd direct my entire administration to work with his team to ensure a peaceful and orderly transition.
Also speaking with Vice President Harris.
She gave her whole heart and effort, and she and her entire team should be proud of the campaign they ran.
Telling Americans setbacks are unavoidable, but giving up is unforgivable.
I've said many times, you can't love your country only when you win. You can't love your neighbor only when you agree.
Calling democracy the greatest experiment and saying he hopes we can lay to rest any question about the integrity of the American electoral system.
It is honest, it is fair, and it is transparent.
And urging those who disagree to see each other not as adversaries, but as fellow Americans. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, the optimism is already bouncing back for America following last week's election results, the election of President Donald J. Trump, Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, and the Republicans taking back control of the Senate. You know, Evelyn, you and I talked about this before the election, that there was, it was, you know, the all these surveys from, you know, small business, the NFIB and others were talking about how concerned people were. And anecdotally, I mean, I remember talking with Terrell Bracken, who runs the Fusion Fight League here in Montana, and he estimated that probably 30% of his business sponsors and his business supporters told him straight up, they said, we're waiting to see what plays out this fall, because, and they're going to hold on to cash in the meantime. Now, I think there's this burst of enthusiasm is going to mean these businesses are going to be ready to do what they were maybe holding out on just even just a month ago because of this renewed enthusiasm. But it's going to be good news, I think, across the board for energy, for agriculture, and more.
Totally. You know, I was reading reports on different things that are likely to happen, and one of them is how energy changes are going to happen to the energy industry with Trump in control. And the a report from the energy bad boys, Mitch Rowling and Isaac Orr, predicts a lot of changes that will most profoundly benefit Montana. They are predicting that the Trump administration will scale back or repeal the regulatory overreach that we were seeing under Biden. Some of the regulations that could be repealed and or reworked include the tailpipe emission standards, which were actually an electric vehicle mandate, and also the mercury and air toxic standards and the rules on carbon dioxide emissions on power plants. They expect a lot of different regulations to be pushed back. And also they are predicting a repeal of several of the electricity sector mandates that will give states more control, more say over their own energy affairs, which and they do say that that could be a mixed blessing or curse, depending on the state involved. You know, some will go, some states will probably pursue more subsidies in wind and solar projects rather than building a more reliable electric grid because of the subsidies. And subsidies are likely to be abandoned or pushed back by Trump because they are causing problems now as companies, power companies, are projecting their future build-out based upon subsidies. They only do it if the subsidies are involved, and they're basically making money on subsidies more so than selling energy. And another outfit called Substack, they predicted that the subsidies, if they're not stopped, will cost taxpayers $1 trillion over the next 10 years and between $2 trillion and $4 trillion by 2050. And so I think that we will probably hear lots of talk about the issue of subsidies.
Yeah, and of course that MATS rule that you mentioned, the mercury, air, toxin, whatever standards, that's the rule that they were using to try to go after Colstrip, to try to shut down Colstrip. So,
right.
Yeah, with a new sheriff coming back in town in January, President Donald J. Trump, they can quickly start to reel all that type of nonsense in as well. And I'm interested in seeing how they could also, you know, leverage this new Chevron decision out of the United States Supreme Court to go through that whole federal registry, the whole code of federal regulations, and just say, okay, look, that was overreach, scrap it. That was overreach, scrap it. Because, you know, all these things where these bureaucrats just unilaterally said, no, we're going to just make these laws out of our own, you know, desire here. We don't care what Congress, whether Congress authorized or not. We're just going to do it. I'd love them to just break out the red pen on these federal, you know, kind of like how Governor Gianforte, when he took office, you know, brought out the red pen and started, you know, tearing out these, you know, useless regulations. Same thing on the federal front. Now, did I read right here in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet, Evelyn, you report here that there's actual chatter that they may try to restart the Keystone XL pipeline?
Yes, that was one of the possibilities these writers said, because we are still, while there's been improvement in how the United States gets imports and are not needing them so much, we are still dependent on enemies for some of our imports, and it's much better off for the security of our country to be dealing with Canada. And so they are thinking that we may hear a comeback of the Keystone Pipeline. And there's other possibilities that we'll be pushing back on Biden, such as the building of natural gas export facilities, and because Biden put them on hold, and there's a lot of countries who would love to be buying our natural gas.
Yeah, the EU is already saying they now want to start buying from us instead of for Russia. Well, go figure. Yeah. Geez, haven't they been at war with Russia for a little while now? I mean, you're just now thinking, yeah, maybe we should buy American gas instead of Russian gas. All right, Evelyn, hold that thought. That's very interesting about the Keystone Pipeline, because I just assumed once they killed it, it was dead. Canada already built a pipeline on the West Coast, so, but hey, who knows? Let's see.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Legacy media is dead. I said in 2007, journalism is dead. Legacy media is dead. It is done. It is gone. It is buried. It is over. And these late night comics, they basically, you know, just start counting the days. If they're going to be off the air, it's going to be because nobody watches them because they're not funny. If the view is ever taken off the air, it's because the show sucks. Legacy media people, their influence is gone. This landslide victory on Tuesday, where he wins the popular vote. And I did ask many of you in blue states, please go out and vote, even though your state likely isn't going to go blue. A lot of you listened. I'm glad you did, because that led to a mandate election in this country.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Hey, if you served our country or communities, there are massive benefits waiting for you. That's right, current and former military, law enforcement, first responders, teachers. You qualify for a free membership at GovX. That's G-O-V-X. They are the largest online marketplace exclusively for those people that serve. Right now, you'll save up to 40% off the most desirable brands, Ray-Ban, Oakley, Yeti, Stanley, North Face. Save up to 40% off cruises, hotels, theme parks, concerts, even sporting events. If you want to save, you need GovX, and you join 9 million other members who are saving millions of dollars on their favorite brands every month. Go to GovX.com, use the promo code Sean, S-E-A-N. You'll get an additional $15 off your first purchase. The sign-up is absolutely free, no membership fee. Go to GovX.com, promo code Sean, S-E-A-N, GovX. Savings for those who serve.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
26 projects were recently announced for USDA's latest round of local meat capacity grants, providing needed resources to add and upgrade equipment and improve efficiency for local meat processors. USDA Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs, Jenny Moffitt.
Local MCAP is targeted assistance for equipment-only type grants and grants that are more tailored towards some of the smaller projects. We were just able to announce the third round of awards for approximately $20.2 million in grant funding for 26 projects through the local MCAP grant program. AM Meats in northeastern Wisconsin, that's going to use the funding to purchase new equipment, including things like stuffers and hanging lines, three-truck smokehouses, automatic grinders, and also energy-saving cooling mixers. These upgrades that they're going to do will boost their processing capacity. It's going to engage additional 121 local producers to be able to have access to processing capacity, and then also create 12 new jobs, just further supporting the local communities. Granite State Packaging, that's located in New Hampshire, they're receiving a grant to purchase new slaughter, cutting, and packaging equipment. This will increase their business's pork slaughter and processing capacity, benefiting 100 local producers and increasing the availability of local pork products.
USDA says this will help producers and local communities thrive. I'm Lane Nordland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, energy policy shifts. That's one of the headlines in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet here this morning. Plus, other big news. The Montana Department of Natural Resources and Conservation has entered into a $26 million loan agreement with the Milk River Joint Board of Control to support needed repairs on the St. Mary Canal. So that is big news because, of course, the failures of the St. Mary Canal is the reason why the High Line went high and dry. And they're expecting that that irrigation project, which basically is the lifeline for the High Line, to be dry through next summer as well because of that failure at the federal level to get this thing taken care of once and for all. So the state stepping up there with that $26 million loan agreement. And then the Farm Bureau Convention coming to Billings, Montana, November 18th through the 21st at the Doubletree in Northern Hotels in downtown Billings. Evelyn, I'll bet you our farm and ranch folks are much more optimistic about the future now as well.
Yes, I would think so. I mean, just think of all the things that Biden had in store for them and all of the regulations. And they were trying to put agriculture out of business. You know, I don't know what they thought we were all going to eat. Certainly not beefsteak, but
bugs. Yeah. No beef. They wanted us to eat bugs. So thankfully, the eat bugs crowd lost big last week.
Right, and so did, you know, when you mentioned all the regulations to go through them and stuff. So many of them are violations of property rights and, you know, just personal liberties and choices we all should be able to make. And, you know, when they're talking about coming in our homes and making us use electric cooking ranges rather than gas, I mean, they're way overboard. And there was no end in sight unless we elected Donald Trump, because if you followed all their thinking, I can't imagine another 4 years and where all kinds of industry would be and where we as consumers would be just being rendered even more poor.
Yeah, exactly. I did see, though, in Bozeman, the voters there passed the plastic ban, the plastic bag ban, which will, of course, drive up prices if it actually moves forward. But I think folks are anticipating a legal challenge to that whole deal to begin with. You know, we talk about beef. I was talking with somebody. We had this great event with Stu Scheller yesterday, And I was talking with somebody. We've got an enormous opportunity now with President Trump and this whole team he's bringing on board, RFK Jr., Elon Musk. It's like, okay, we've got the opportunity to make some monumental changes at the federal level to clean up this mess in Washington. And, you know, from an agricultural standpoint, one thing that Brian Massard with Reminis Angus out of Dillon, Montana, he's actually been working with RFK Jr. for quite some time now. You know, current USDA policy discriminates against beef. And we've got the opportunity to end that discrimination against beef production and when it comes to the USDA guidelines. So that's an enormous opportunity. There's all these things that we can talk about now in the days and months ahead that we got the opportunity to fix now. So now's the time to get creative, get optimistic, and let's get it done. Evelyn, I understand you and Dennis, you guys volunteered on Election Day. What were some of your Election Day observations?
Well, first off, it is a great experience, and I would encourage anybody and everybody to try it at least once. And they need volunteers. You know, one of the things we heard people complain about was everybody being at Metro Park and the concentration of people there. But that happened because they couldn't get enough judges and poll workers to volunteer. And there was, I heard people talk about how they liked the day when the precincts were in their own neighborhoods and the polling places and people just didn't step up and keep that as a viable option. So having said all of that, probably the thing I came away with as the most important is stop registration on Election Day. It is sheer nonsense. It serves no purpose other than causing confusion and mayhem and it huge crowds. I mean, there might be a rare case where somebody couldn't get registered before Election Day, but it doesn't justify the atrocity that Election Day is turned into because so many people there, and it serves no purpose.
It just creates a mess, yeah. Hold that thought if you can, Evelyn. Stand by, and I'll come back to you here in 60 seconds to check. And here, and Evelyn, thanks for sticking around for just a couple more minutes here. Yeah, you know, it's almost as if when your elected legislators and the governor signed a bill into law making the voter registration end prior to Election Day, it's almost like they knew what they were doing. They were trying to prevent an Election Day mess like many people in Gallatin County and in Yellowstone County had to face on Election Day, because look at the mess same-day registration created. It's like, oh, but no, a liberal judge had to throw that law out because the Democrat Party didn't like it.
Yeah, and I mean, and again, it goes, I've heard people say this, but our legislators are elected by the people, and the judges seem to think that we should have no voice in these things. And I hope that the legislature goes back and reintroduces that and pushes it out there again, because it's just like I said, sheer nonsense that we do that. And I remember when they first pushed that forward, there was a lot of speculation that was its whole purpose, was to try to deliberately cause that kind of confusion and everything. And there's just no reason, you know, just a few hours difference will make all the difference in the sanity of Election Day.
Well, it's because they want to bus over a bunch of out-of-state college kids at the last minute when they're freaking out because they're about to get their butt spanked in the election, and that's what it sounds like happening in Gallatin County. Well, Evelyn, thanks for your sacrifice and for to you and Dennis for volunteering that day, and always great to have you on the program here. Let me see. I got about a minute and a half before the break. Let's go to Tim and Savage. Tim, what's going on?
Hey, good morning. Hey, hope you have a great Veterans Day. Thank you for your service and all the veterans out there.
Hey, thanks for your support of the veterans as well with the auxiliary that you're a part of and everything.
Yeah, big prime rib dinner at the Vets Club in Sydney tonight at 6 o'clock. So anybody in the area, veterans and their families, are welcome to come.
Very cool.
The reason I called, one thing that I thought about on the way home from Bozeman last week after sitting with you there is the continued lies from the left, and that we need to document these and we need to hold them accountable for them. And because they're continuing to say, okay, well, Trump was going to ban in vitro fertilization. He's going to have a nationwide abortion ban. He's going to take away Social Security. He's going to infringe on your voting rights. He's going to lock up political adversaries. He's chaos. And what was Crazy Harris's, Crazy Cackler's thing? Unhinged. Yeah, he was unhinged. And then you just mentioned the bug crowd. You know, we're going to have global warming because now we're going to eat cows and not kill them all off because they fart. And we need to hold these people accountable for these things and then say, okay, in 4 years, in 2 years, even in a year from now, how are things looking? Are the oceans rising? Do you have these people locked up? Do we have any concentration camps?
And
no,
what about
we have prosperity?
What about the end of democracy? They called the guy Hitler, and now it's like, oh, well, Joe Biden's going to have coffee with Trump on Wednesday. Yeah, moving on.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we should have Jared Halpern from Fox News Radio joining us any second now. But in the meantime, if I have time, I'll come back to Tim and Savage. If not, I'll get to the callers right after we wrap up with Jared Halpern. But this soundbite from Charlemagne, you guys remember the black radio host Charlemagne, very pro Kamala Harris, but his callers were very pro Donald Trump and secure in the borders. Here's the headline at thedailywire.com. Charlemagne the God, that's what he calls himself. Charlemagne questions whether Democrats lied about the Trump threat to democracy.
I will say this. I'm glad everybody's having a sense of optimism, because the reality is we have no choice, because we're here now. Donald J. Trump is going to be the 47th president of the United States of America, like it or not. And we all hope for the best for this country. That's all we can do. But don't y'all find it strange that now that he's won, they're not calling him a threat to democracy? They're not calling him a fascist? I mean, damn,
They're not calling him anything.
On Monday, they was just calling him that. I would think that, you know, if you really believe that, then somebody's speech would be about how America effed up and how things are about to be really bad.
Even that man alone. He's the most powerful man in the world now.
Well, it just makes you wonder how much of it did they really believe, or how much of it was just politics.
Now, Morgan, also, I know...
Yeah, anyway, don't y'all wonder, Tim and Savage, don't y'all wonder. Oh, man, you still there, Tim?
Yeah, it's just a crazy holiday. Okay, now it's the day after, now we concede, and now we pretend that we didn't just call Trump and all of his supporters garbage, and the threat to democracy, and Nazi, and racist, and homophobe, and all of these things. And that's what I'm saying, is we've got to hold them accountable and say, no, you don't get to just disparage a majority of the U.S. population and its citizens and then write it off and say, it was just politics. We were just trying to win the office. And
Just playing game off. Okay, guys, we were just joking about that whole, you know, hopey climate changey thing. We were just joking about the threat to democracy, all that. Yeah, the whole transgender thing. Ah, you know, we were just playing. We're just playing. Move on. Bev in Bozeman just sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. Aaron, instead of moving on, the Democrats are turning the page as instructed by the horrible Mrs. Walls. That's what Bev in Bozeman said. Tim, do you think they're turning the page? Just turn the page. You think they're going to turn the page?
Yeah. They're turning the page, but they're keeping that other page bookmarked, and they're going to come back with that same stuff. I mean, where are we on the world is going to end in 12 years? Was that?
Well, that was about 24 years ago. That was about 12 years ago. Yeah.
And it's going to come back, and all this other garbage is just going to keep coming back. We need to hold them accountable and show. I mean, like Mongino says, we are going to be able to bring the receipts and show in 28. Hey, and can I say who's going to be president after Trump?
Yeah, go for it. Who's your prediction?
I think, you know, from the very first time that I listened to Hillbilly Elegy, I just said, man, that guy gets it. He's rocking everything.
J.D. Vance.
And I would love to see a Vance Sheehy 28.
Man, that'd be
Vance
a great
Sheehy
ticket.
28.
That'd be a great and ticket. So, yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you what.
You want to make some money, why don't you lock up that web address, VanceSheehy28.com.
Hey, let me throw one stat at you here real quick, and then I'll try to sneak on Robert in Belgrade as we still await a phone call from Jared Halpern here. So I don't know if you saw this. The liberal Montana Free Press had an article back on November 1st where they were throwing shade on my buddy Evan Wilson, the, you know, Mr. Montana numbers man himself. And and this article basically was saying, well, Evan Wilson said that the total number of absentee ballots, he expects the total number of absentee ballots in Montana to hit 498,000 by Tuesday, Election Day. Remember, this is a pre-election story. Well, with less than a week left to vote, Montanans had turned in only 339,000 ballots, well short of Wilson's predicted 498,000. So they tried to throw shade on my buddy Evan Wilson and say he predicted 498,000 absentee ballots would be cast. But with less than a week to go, he's well short of his prediction. Tim, you want to guess?
Yeah, that's like that. Yeah, I'm going to guess about 490.
Do you have a guess at how many actually came in absentee ballots?
It's probably about 490.
494,000. Look at that.
There we go.
Look at that. Yeah. And the liberal media tried throwing shade on him. It's like, where's your follow-up story there, Montana Free Press, to talk about what a genius Evan Wilson is and how you guys came up short? All right, Tim, great to hear from you. Good guess, by the way. I wouldn't even have tried to take a stab at that one there. All right, let's see. I'm not seeing a phone call from Jared Halpern yet here. So I don't. Maybe he got the time, the mountain time zone confused with the Eastern time. Who knows? But either way, we'll drive on. We got Robert in Belgrade. Robert, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Well, PTSD. There's over 20 veterans a day committing suicide. I saw a show this weekend on one of the news medias. Two doctors, one in Israel and one in Salt Lake City, are doing this hypothermic therapy. And the one in Salt Lake says he's having all of his patients are showing improvements. The one in Israel, he said 68% of his people are showing improvements. They tried to share their therapy with the United States Veterans Affairs Association, which we all know who that is, Tester, and they wouldn't accept their exception, wouldn't accept it, the therapy, the research that they've done. And that's to save our veterans. So something ought to be done to Tester so he's not living off of us with his retirement and killing our veterans.
You know, I'm kind of wondering, I'm interested. I wonder, is Senator Tester, is he attending any Veterans Day events today? Because if he is, I publicly will say, thank you for doing so. Thank you for continuing to do your job and to continuing to show up even after, you know, a big defeat last Tuesday. But if he's not, I would kind of wonder. But I wonder, is he scheduled to be anywhere? Is he scheduled to speak anywhere on Veterans Day? Stu Scheller, Lieutenant Colonel Stu Scheller. Robert, did you get a chance to hear him speak at MSU on Friday or go to the Marine Corps Ball on Saturday or anything by chance?
No, but I have some more information on the PTSD if you want it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I saw this was on CBS News yesterday, 11-10. You can look it up online. And also there's a representative, North Carolina, Greg Murphy. You can call him. He's fighting this thing really hard. But for the Veterans Association to not accept the research these people have already done, that they have, one of them has a 100% success ratio, is unbelievable.
Well, yeah, it's something worth looking into. And I tell you, we did a show in Missoula several months ago. I need to go back and maybe share that audio again here later today on our Montana Talks website. But they're doing some interesting brain research at the University of Montana where, you know, that's focused on this very topic as well. I can't remember if I shared that on our Montana Talks website in addition to on the radio show a few months ago or not, but I need to go back and revisit that because it was very interesting, the research that we're doing. This is a topic we're gonna bring up here in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. We got a couple of guests who are gonna join us coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Hoodies for Heroes. Have you guys heard about Hoodies for Heroes? If you've been to Dealer Park in Billings, where the Billings Mustangs play, there's a memorial that looks like it's pretty close to being completed. The governor's going to be there later today for the ribbon cutting. Hoodies for Heroes, this is a wall that honors fallen heroes who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. Anyway, we're going to have a couple of representatives from Hoodies for Heroes join us later around 8:40. And then Governor Greg Gianforte is going to talk about it in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. But also before that, we've got Karen Pearson with the Adaptive Performance Center. She's going to join us to kick off the 8 o'clock hour. They had Stu Scheller do a book signing there yesterday. Stu Scheller will be one of the speakers for Veterans Day in the Bozeman area later today as well. We got a chance to have a cigar with him yesterday afternoon. So incredible to get a chance to see and meet Stu Scheller. But you know, one of the things, the APC, the Adaptive Performance Center, one of the reasons why they started this veterans-only gym is to combat and to end veterans' suicide. So we're going to check in with Karen Pearson coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. And they've also got a veterans-only gym in Helena now as well. So they've got the APC in Billings and the APC in Helena. But my question is this. There's so much focus on you know, suicide and veterans. And I read a book, or I heard the audio book, Bad Therapy by Abigail Schreier. And I don't know, it seems like the more they talk about it, the worse it gets, if you get what I'm saying. That's why I love what the APC is doing and what programs like Warriors in Quiet Waters are doing, is that get out there, get active, get together with other veterans. To me, that's the best thing you can do.
This episode is brought to you by Buffalo Trace Distillery. Powerful yet smooth. Contained but never tame. Proudly going their own way, but never going alone. This is the spirit inside Buffalo Trace Bourbon. Made at Buffalo Trace Distillery, the world's most award-winning distillery. Buffalo Trace is always perfectly untamed. Distilled, aged, and bottled by Buffalo Trace Distillery, Franklin County, Kentucky. 90 proof, 45% alcohol by volume. Learn more at buffalotracedistillery.com. Please drink responsibly.
Fox News commentary.
Kamala Harris has done one thing since losing to Donald Trump that I commend. I'm Tommy Lahren. Find out next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
I'm no fan of Kamala Harris, but in the spirit of unity, love, light, and grateful victory, I will give credit where credit is due. While Kamala didn't explicitly congratulate President-elect Donald Trump on his victory in her concession speech, I did find her address to be classy, unifying, and gracious. I also give her credit for not taking the easy way out and blaming racism or sexism for her loss. There are many voices in liberal media and within her Democrat Party that have, but as for Kamala herself, well, she has resisted that urge, and for that, I give her credit. After Hillary Clinton's epic loss to Donald Trump in 2016, she wasted no time blaming voters for being sexist. She to this day echoes that bitter sentiment. It's the low-hanging fruit. It's not true, and it's divisive. It's a much better look to lose with grace, and to this point, Kamala Harris has done that. It's obvious Kamala is better at losing than leading. I'm Tommy Lahren.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown. Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Securing America.
Sunday, the Marine Corps celebrated its 249th birthday. First established during the Revolution in 1775 to support naval forces, the Marines were shuttered after that war before being reestablished by Congress in July of 1798. The current commandant of the Corps, General Eric Smith, made this statement as part of a video birthday message.
For 249 years, Marines have distinguished themselves not just by their valor, but by their readiness to confront the challenges that lie ahead.
The Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps, Carlos Ruiz, adding this.
Our reputation as warriors is not just a relic of our past, but a living testament to our nature.
General Smith saying that moving forward,
we must also reaffirm our commitment to our nation, our families, and the Marines to our left and right.
While also adding,
we will remain vigilant, and every Marine will be prepared to fight.
1-6263 QC Kinetics.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Let's see. Caden said, we got our guest producer, Caden. He said, my audio sounded like it was coming through a phone. I wonder if I left my mic off, but was talking in queue or something. So if you guys couldn't hear me for the last minute or two before that last break there, I apologize. But, anyway, hey, let's drive on. Our microphone is on now. It's a Monday. It's Veterans Day. Shout out to all you veterans who got the day off, and shout out to the rest of us who are still here working. I'll tell you what, though, I got some good coffee. Caden brewed up some great coffee this morning. That's a happy Veterans Day right there. Guns and coffee, right? Guns and coffee. You got those two things, you're ready to rock and roll. All right, 406-294-0970. Charlie Kirk was on Fox over the weekend talking about why the young generation is rejecting leftism. Charlie Kirk says that the younger generations helped President Trump also score a big victory last Tuesday. And, you know, I told you guys, the bartenders at the Rockin' R, when we did our show there last Wednesday, they said the same thing. They said this newer generation of young people, they are pro-Trump. They are pro-Tim Sheehy. They are not buying this stuff.
But a lot of us have feared for a long time, hey, because of our education system, because of our colleges and universities, we're going to lose generations of young men and women to leftism. Why are they rejecting that and turning toward Trump?
Well, there's many reasons. We cannot underestimate how this generation was damaged during COVID. They had prom, graduation, so many friends taken from them. Their whole life was uprooted for a disproportionate response towards a younger generation. They saw on top of that all the excesses of the woke agenda during the summer of 2020. And now they're looking to rebel against that. And they say, wait a second, we weren't told the truth. We were not told the truth about social distancing or the closing of schools, not told the truth about how the virus was going to impact us and the younger generation. And they were starting to fight back. And President Trump also offered a promise to them. You see, the younger generation, they're the first generation since George Washington to have it worse off than their parents. They're the most depressed, suicidal, anxious, least likely to own homes, least likely to get married, least likely to have kids. And they want a future. And President Trump said, you know what? Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and the Democrats broke it. I will fix it because the country was stable just 4 years ago. Enough younger voters were able to hear that message thanks to the work of him going on podcasting, what we did on campuses, social media. I believe it was one of the decisive elements that now made President Trump the soon-to-be 47th president of the United States.
Yeah, by the way, Charlie Kirk was at the University of Montana campus in the final month before the election as well. They had a huge crowd in Missoula for Charlie Kirk and Tim Sheehy there. All right, just about out of time. We got another caller on the phone lines here. Let's see. Baron in Gallatin County. Baron, what's going on? Okay, you got your radio. You got to turn down your radio in the background or you're going to get feedback. Let me try to go back to him here. Baron, are you there?
I can hear you.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? And want to say hi and whatnot. And I just had a curiosity on what your take is on AI in business and all the situations now that we're having with AI in the workplace, taking jobs, and also simply just the use of AI in government. To be honest, that's kind of a scary thing. We, especially with, like, for example, Chase Bank on the East Coast giving pretty much free ride to the federal government on back records for all that data that they had on them, and specifically the government searching for specifically purchases.
Like gun purchases and things like that. Yeah, I think, well, in the interest of, great question. Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening. Like any tool, like any technology, it can be used for good or it can be used for bad.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
Or if that resume was from someone who
worked 12-hour shifts at the recycling company with my dad, who's 72. That taught me a work ethic that I carry with me every day.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone.
Growing up where I did, a lot of things could have gotten in the way of my goals. But I learned to push through, and that's what I bring to work every day.
So maybe it's time we look beyond the resume and look to grads of life. Discover new ways to develop great talent that are so much more than what's on paper at gradsoflife.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.